This is a Pinball News production.
At the age of 13, I had a paper route, which meant I had tons of quarters at my disposal. Now, about a half a mile from my house was a 7-Eleven, and in that 7-Eleven was a Gottlieb Sure Shot game, and I was obsessed with that game. So as often as I could, I'd go down there and play it. I remember how sweaty my hands used to get whenever I would light up the special when lit. I would dream at night about the special. There were three of them on the playing board, so that's where my love of pinball really got going, on that Sure Shot machine and that 7-Eleven. So after that, I just played as much pinball as humanly possible in my free time. I remember reading an article about Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits a few years back, where he said he was so into the guitar that he would go to the guitar shop and he would smell the guitars. So when my sister was in college, I would go to visit her, and I would spend most of my time in the rec hall of the school where there were seven pinball machines. And when you open the door to the rec room, you could just smell those machines because they were all turned on and heated up. And I found out later that the smell came from the ashwood that, when heated up, gave off that intoxicating aroma. Howard and I had a lot of fun shooting this documentary, which I'm now proud to say is finally on high-quality DVD directly from the original master tape. So sorry for all you bootleggers out there. The best part of producing this show with Howard was all the great people we got to meet along the way. The whole thing started with a phone call to Gary Stern, who still doesn't remember me calling him, but I do. So I said, "Gary, how do I begin this process?" Because at the time, I knew nothing about pinball's history. I just knew I liked to play. And Gary said, "You must go to the mountain." And I said, "Where's the mountain?" He said, "Chicago." Of course, none of this would have been possible without my business partner Howard Cook's help and guidance along the way. He really knows the game and loves the history as much as I do.
My name is Howard Cook, and I was the co-producer and chief videographer for the history of pinball. My love for pinball started at a fairly early age. I grew up in a small seaside community north of Boston called Revere Beach. It was the nation's first public beach, and it had quite the notoriety for its honky-tonk amusement park on the boulevard. A mile and a half of amusement rides, food stands, roller coasters, and of course, arcades. My earliest memories were of the penny arcades, which were filled with old cigarette-scarred wood reels that had been converted from a nickel to penny play. When I was 13, I started hanging out in a local pool room, which had a couple of pinballs and a payout machine. I can't remember a day that I walked through those doors of that pool room and someone wasn't banging the payout machine. We borrowed the name Pleasure Machines from Springsteen's Sandy. His famous line is, "Banging them pleasure machines." I'm sure we can all relate.
We had so many adventures while we were shooting the history of pinball, but one of my favorites was visiting Stan Moraski of Rockford, Illinois. He was a collector and friend of the late Richard Bushell, and he was extremely gracious, and he opened his home to us, which was like a temple and shrine to the world of coin-operated games. I'd never seen anything like it. He had all kinds of machines in every room in his house. The only rooms that he didn't have games in were the kitchen and the bedroom. That's where his wife said, "No way." And I remember him taking us down to this large room, which was the basement, and it was dark. And he smiled and he said, "Go ahead, walk through the turnstile." And as we did, the whole room came to life with brightly colored machines and lights, and the Happy Days music started playing from the jukebox. It was like a pinball heaven. And he sent us both home with great gifts. He gave me an old baffle ball game, which I got to work on, and Howard got a glass jukebox song selector, the kinds you see in the diner, like when you sit down to eat. And we both still have them to this day.
One of the most interesting interviews was Slash from Guns N' Roses. Not only was he intelligent and welcoming, but he lived that rock and roll lifestyle that most of us could only dream of. Years later, when I read his book, I realized how lucky we were to get him at a relatively sane moment. We showed up at his Beverly Hills home about 10 o'clock in the morning, and his current girlfriend answered the door and told us to wait out front. I think she went upstairs to wake him up, and when the door opened for the second time, there was Slash, bare-chested, bare-footed, wearing skin-tight leather pants, every bit the rock star. After showing us around the house, which had dinosaurs and guitars and pinball machines everywhere, we got down to the interview. It went fairly well until the phone rang. It was Axl Rose for the lead singer from Guns N' Roses. They hadn't spoken to each other in probably a few months, and it looked like the band was breaking up. I think the phone call might have been the last nail in the coffin. They were disagreeing about playing with certain band members, and as soon as the call was over, Slash told me, "Shut off the camera." He was visibly upset, and we were lucky to quiet him down so we could continue the interview. Here's the footage of the phone call.
"Hello? Yeah. Axe? Oh, what a fucking perfect time for you to call. I'm right in the middle of fucking something. Like, I just got started fucking doing something. Are you home? All right, I got...
So this is when Axel's berating him and telling him how to live his life and who he should and who he shouldn't play with.
No, I understand that, and I know that. And I didn't know that until yesterday it was finally confirmed. What was going on? I didn't know exactly what was going on, and I talked. Okay, no, we'll get this together. Okay, all right. Yeah.
There's a lot of other cool outtakes and stuff, so hopefully you can just go on our website, which is newvideoimages.com, or I think it's also the historyofpinballdvd.com, and you can order a copy. So.
Customization to the games. Maybe stop by Back Alley Creations to see Matt.
Wait, no, where's this called? What?
Back Alley Creations, all the mods. It works for Jack. There's a lot of stuff under the Wizard of Oz.
And that's out there. Yeah. Back Alley?
Back Alley Creations.
Okay.
A lot of customization, mods to the games now. People add, you know, a lot of stuff by the game, add a lot of new toys.
You gotta go with Bob and his performances by trade, but he's an amazing guy, he's an amazing resource for history, and even though he's a little bit older, he's far in advance of what's going on. He's got an amazing place for all kinds of games.
So he'd be a great interview. And does he know, like, up until, like, games today, or is he...
What's happening in 5 years?
Alright, so the guy's, like, off the charts. He knows what you're going to do next before you know it.
Actually, he does, because we're going to put a game there. Not in the future. You know, in the distant future, yeah.
Wow. Oh, great. Awesome. He works at the pharmacy?
No, he
works at the...
He should work at the pharmacy.
He should be working at the pharmacy, but he's working in there. Okay, I got it. So, all right. Well, thank you all for having me again, Rob. Thank you so much. Without him, none of this would have been possible. And I really appreciate it a lot, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you again soon.